Cheers!
Cheers! Well, it's that time again.
I'm Susan.
And I'm Annie.
And this is
Two Friends, One Chat.
Whoa! We did, like, right? I feel like we did it exactly together that time. And not, like, too high or too low. Just
no, yeah, we're very middle. Yeah.
It's very professional. Ooh. I think that's kind of where we're headed right
oh my
now.
Gosh.
It's just, like, we're really classing it up over here, so.
Oh my gosh. So professional.
Guys, we are super professional. We take this very seriously.
Very seriously.
We do.
We actually
really
do.
I mean, we honestly take this podcast.
And none of that's a
very
joke.
Very seriously.
Yeah.
But.
Yes.
When you are walking down a street, like in the arts district.
Yeah. Oh, I love the arts district, yes.
Hanging out, mm-hmm. doing whatevs. Mm-hmm. What's your, like, mind saying to you as you're walking?
Usually I'm very just, you know, relaxed, hanging out. The sun was out. It was great. And I'd remembered sunscreen. So I was like, I can hang out in here.
Yeah,
I was just really relaxed.
Do you want to know what I think when I'm walking down the street?
Tell me. Uh-oh.
Watch out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's intense.
And we're going to talk about that today.
I have, so, can I ask, like, two follow-up questions?
Yes,
please. Is that all the time?
To some level, yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Unless I'm, like, been drinking a little.
Oh, sure, you got the liquid courage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, liquid courage changes everything.
But in general, definitely when I'm by myself,
yeah.
even when I'm with people, if I'm sober, on some level, yes.
Yeah.
I am hypervigilant, which is what we're talking about today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that good? Do you have more follow-up questions?
No, you know what I thought? Because, I mean, you know, in talking about how we prepare for the podcast, and I know people know this already, but a lot of what we do is, you know, we outline what we're going to talk about. We forecast, and then, you know, we take leads on things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, you know, one of the episodes that you're leading. And I guess what is surprising to me is I didn't realize that you're, like, when you're describing hypervigilance, it's all the time.
Yeah. Oh, did you not?
Okay. No. Yeah. And because I have certainly experienced times in my life where I have been hypervigilant.
Yeah.
And I know we'll dive more into this, but usually it's post a situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
As I think that is true for a lot of people. And, well, maybe we should describe hypervigilance
for those
that don't even...
Good call.
Like,
good call.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Oh, that's so awesome.
So when we're talking about hypervigilance, I think, and you can break it down, right? When mm-hmm. someone is having, like, a vigil, you're, like, sitting watch, right?
Yeah.
So when it's that hypervigilance, you are on watch, on guard, looking for that thing that's going to try to take you out at all times, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a little stressful, I think, for people that kind of live in that hypervigilance. But it makes sense after an event, right?
Yeah.
That may have happened to you to be that way for a little bit.
Yes.
Right? It's your body's response to be like, well, I'm not going to let that happen again, so I've got to be...
Survival.
Ready.
Yeah, I got to be ready, I got to survive.
At all times. And I think when we look really, truly all the way into our brain, right, we needed that mm-hmm. hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
We needed to survive, so we had to be ready mm-hmm. for that saber-toothed tiger attack, right?
Yeah.
Or the other guy down in the next cave coming to get you. Right? Because you got better berries or something. I don't know. I'm not sure how it works back then.
You're not wrong, though.
But
yeah,
I think hypervigilance has its role in our lives. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's great mm-hmm. when it's all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be good for my brain. My poor little brain. Love it so much.
Yeah.
It's doing its job.
Yeah.
But it's working a little bit of overtime.
Well, and I think, too, it's funny now. So just hearing you describe it that way is super interesting on a bunch of levels. One,
please.
I have not heard hypervigilance, like the words basically broken out before. And which totally makes sense. So it is important to be vigilant, right? We would expect that for people to be aware and, like, you know, read the room and things like that. But when you explain it that way and then add like the hyper on top of it, it's like, at that point, it feels like your brain might not be being productive.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I think I would even argue, because I like the idea of kind of the caveman perspective, because cavemen, of course, weren't known for their literary contributions to society.
What cavemen do you know?
I do actually love those commercials, the Geico ones.
Oh, stop it. Yes.
And it's so cute. And he's like all like, I think those are hilarious. Very funny take.
Great commercials.
But I could see how if you spend so much time in that, and you need to survive, because you're right, you're avoiding all predators at that point.
Yeah.
But then you are going to miss a lot of your frontal cortex, like the long decision making, the 5-year plans. So it's so interesting to hear it described that way, because of course, when like we were cavemen, we were not thinking, "What's my retirement plan?" Right? We were thinking like,
"How do I make it through this hour or this day?"
Yes, and protect like those. You know, that's pretty much all. And so it's really interesting, because I think when we talk about hypervigilance, and it's really kind of being in that caveman brain per se.
Yeah, in that survival mode kind of all the time. And I think I 100% agree, and hadn't thought about it before. It probably does sort of kind of restrict that long-term planning.
Yeah.
Because how can I
even
think about what 10 years looks like if I'm not...
Just try not to be prey over here.
I'm not sure I'm going to make it home tonight.
Yeah.
According to my brain. I think the other piece that personally, and I think people like me that are kind of hypervigilant all the time miss out on, is enjoying the now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
We don't ever get to enjoy the moments we're in because we are on the lookout waiting for that next thing to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it happens in a lot of different ways. I think the example I think would make most sense to people that anyone could kind of maybe wrap their head around is when I get on an elevator.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what most people think, but if anyone else steps on that elevator with me, I better be ready to go.
Okay. Like fight them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
Oh, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... That's very stressful, right? Mentally, physically, you get stressed out.
Yeah.
And I don't know that other people always read that well or know, so they're not... So they might be wanting to have a conversation with me, and I am in, like, total survival mode, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't talk to you. I can't engage with you. I don't really hear what you're saying. But maybe I'm missing this, like, super awesome conversation I could have with this person, right? So it, like, makes me sad sometimes to think of the things I might be missing out on.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm hypervigilant. Yeah. Or I'm missing the beautiful scenery around me because I am waiting for someone to jump out of the bushes. Or...
Yeah.
Who's behind me, and how far away are they, and how close do I have to watch, and do I need to step up my pace? And so I think that piece can suck.
Yeah.
For some people.
Yeah. You're describing a very stressful situation. Yes.
But it makes sense for us experiencing it
because
we're trying to survive, right? We feel like we have to think this way and be ready so that we don't get murdered or taken or whatever the scenario is at that given moment. But I think it's a big deal, and I'm not sure people recognize, maybe even if they're not hypervigilant all the time, but just in moments like you have sometimes, that people are even noticing that's what's going on for them.
Yeah.
Do you notice when you're feeling hypervigilant?
Yes.
Okay. You can tell.
Yes, I hate it. I hate the feeling. I hate it so much. And
what do you hate about it?
I it feels like the precursor to anxiety for me, and I'm very sensitive to that.
Oh.
I have not, you know, I have worked so hard to get out of a anxiety spiral brain. And hypervigilance, I think, is something when we talk about, like, a mental health measure.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I can, when that is starting to happen,
mm-hmm.
like, and it might be fun for us, I can talk about what my symptoms of hypervigilance look like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you scare easy, someone rounds the corner, and I'll, oh, my gosh, that scared me.
Yes.
When you're, like, at home. You know what I mean? Right. Like, or, gosh, what's another one? That, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that feeling of, like, being startled is what the precursors to, like, an anxiety shame spiral in my head feels like.
Oh!
And so I hate hypervigilance. And when okay. And because it's such a precursor to me shame spiraling, I am very aware of it and, like, work very hard to get, to, like, well, we got to sift through.
Something.
Yeah, something's got to happen because I do not want to live in anxiety brain again. Like,
yeah.
That was so hard on me for years. So I hate hypervigilance.
So hypervigilance is kind of throwback to mental health, like,
yeah.
measures. That's
yes.
something that you notice.
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, time to pull my tools out so this doesn't go
yes.
to the next step of full-blown anxiety, shame spiraling, all of that stuff.
100 I mean, at that point, I get, like, borderline prescriptive about what I'm going to be doing.
Oh,
I'm
interesting.
Like, yep, it's time to get those happy chemicals going. And I need to, like, get a massage. Do I need to, like, take a quarter of my hydroxyzine and, like,
right.
chill out? Do I need to get a pedicure? Do I need a mental health
right.
day? Do I need to just go do some, like, physical work? That's another really big one for me, you know, like,
yeah.
Do I need to just do some yard work for a while and get this out?
Yeah.
Or, like, so there, so yeah, I'm hypervigilant about hypervigilance.
Oh,
oh. Yeah, 10 points.
That's a good one.
I'm slightly proud of it.
One.
Yeah.
I love that. And it totally makes sense
yeah.
that if someone is not living in hypervigilance,
yes.
right? But they're just experiencing it occasionally. That, yeah, it would feel
uncomfortable
and maybe even a little more intense.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Because you're not.
It's not my normal.
In it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comparing my hypervigilance to yours, and because I'm in more of a constant state of it,
yeah.
it doesn't feel like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Here it is. I've got to stop it or it's going to turn into something. It
yeah.
doesn't feel like that to me at all.
Okay.
I think just because it's more of a constant state
yeah.
for me, that it's more of kind of a quiet noise, and then a situation increases it
yeah.
for that moment or that hour or that whatever. And then
yeah.
I'm back to kind of the quiet noise of hypervigilance.
Well, and that would make sense too, because if it isn't a precursor to an anxiety shame spiral for you, it's probably not as scary to live in it more consistently.
Right.
Right? Like, because, I mean, I know we've talked about this. Or maybe we haven't, actually. But people with anxiety will
mm-hmm.
have anxiety about having anxiety. It's like this, like,
yes.
perfect downward
yes.
spiral.
Right?
And so,
ooh, if you have not had
it's so
an
relatable.
Anxiety about anxiety spiral before, ooh, you're in for a treat
you
when you get one of those.
Literally have a panic attack.
Yes.
About having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And it's real physical symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This weird thing that people haven't had that.
It is funny, right? Like, but I know if you're listening and this is you,
yeah.
you're like, oh, yeah, I
oh,
know.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
Oh, I get it, ladies. I'm with you on that one.
Oh, my gosh. So,
oh, you've got to love anxiety about anxiety.
Oh, it's a gift, really. It's a real gift.
Stack those little turtles on each other's back. You just keep. In my head, that's where it's just, I just keep stacking the little anxiety turtles.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. But that being said, I don't think hypervigilance probably is as uncomfortable as more as it is. Like, it spurs that. I do not want anxiety on anxiety on anxiety, and that's why it's scary.
I would, just because language is so important
yeah.
to me, I would put a little bit, I think it's uncomfortable, but it's not as disruptive.
Oh, okay.
To
okay.
my life.
Yeah. Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's still uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't want to be hypervigilant.
Yeah.
I don't like the feeling, right? Yeah. But it doesn't when those spikes hit, it doesn't disrupt my life like it sounds like it does more to yours.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think hypervigilance is great. I don't think it's...
Agreed. Yeah,
It's a great thing to have. I think coming out of true trauma, it's needed.
Yeah.
To allow you to heal and do your work, right? Yeah. I do think there are times in your life where true hypervigilance is needed. And I think that's where a lot of mine came from, was true traumas.
Yeah.
True, really horrible, scary, not safe things happening to me.
Yeah.
That, of course, like, it makes... I'm logical enough to know that it makes sense that I am afraid of someone coming up behind me or on the elevator because I have been in a situation where I wasn't safe with another person, right?
Yes.
So it makes total sense that my brain is still continuing to protect itself, but I don't think it's great to have at the levels and at the times always. Yeah. So I do think it's something to work on. When you're in your kind of moments, what sort of tools... Well, you were saying some of your tools that you pull out to get yourself... Kind of those just regulating in the moment sort of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one of... there's a couple of things I do. The first one, most common one, is I'll just be like, oh, man, Aaron, I'm really anxious today. Because usually it's a... My hypervigilance is directly related to how, you know, that anxiety feeling.
Yes.
Which is why I'm like, crap, I hope I'm not going down a spiral. But so talking about it is like one of the first things. And you want to make sure you have people around that love and support you and that aren't going to lessen or... That's really, really important. You need people around you. And we kind of have talked about this in another hashtag throwback to social circles.
Yeah.
But you need affirming people in your circles.
Yes.
Because... oh my gosh, I was having the greatest conversation with a retired police officer now doing another job.
Oh.
And he was talking about how you just need to, like, kind of like the suck it up buttercup mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really going into that. And I just said, well, here's what we know about, you know, and I was like, we know that humans aren't meant to take that much exposure to trauma.
Right.
And if you don't find a way to, like, expel that energy through therapy, through activities, through hobbies, self-care, I was like, it will boil over. And it's the same thing we say on the podcast, and we mean it. It will boil over at times and places you do not want it to. Oh,
boy, howdy, will it.
I cannot stress that enough. Like... and so it was just a really interesting, fascinating conversation. And the same is true for, processing anxiety for me, right? Like, if I don't access my tools and my affirming tools, like, oh man, I'm feeling really anxious, Aaron. Oh man, why? Tell me. God, I don't know. Like, I wish I knew, but.
Yeah. Like, but be someone sensitive. Willing to have that conversation with you.
And
a safe person to dig at that with you.
Yes. And to treat it with such care and to be like, well. Usually he raps like, well, let me know if there's anything I can do. And usually, I mean, there's not really. It's me just needing to, like, so there's that tool. If I'm alone, like, because I do recognize, like, there's a lot of, because, like, I was really relaxed walking down the arts district because I had, our friend is visiting Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Connor and Aaron have known each other since they were, like, 5. And so he's a very safe person. So I am walking down the street with 2 dudes, right? Like, so, like, I can just be like, whatever, like, the, cause it just
really
totally reduces.
Even then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That does it for you. Okay.
Yeah. Just kind of, you know, doing my little Annie thing, just walking into places, being a very ridiculous. But, there are different tools I apply when I'm traveling alone because I am just by nature more aware if I'm a female, like,
sure.
Cause I fly, you know, our listeners know I fly all the time for work alone.
Yeah.
And at weird hours, cause I'll take the cheapest shitty flight I can take. And so there are, I am not hypervigilant when I travel alone, but I am much more vigilant.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think for those that identify as male that may listen to our podcast, Maybe you do or don't realize, I think people that identify as female are on alert
all the time,
right?
Yeah.
We just are.
Yeah.
And I think that's normal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I don't know that it's healthy. I hate that we have to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's normal and there's good reason for it.
Yeah.
And so if those are the sorts of things you're experiencing, I don't think that's hypervigilance. I don't think
you're in that
category yet. So that I think is okay to be kind of aware of and know, like, hey, I am by myself. I do need to be paying more attention. I do need to know who's beside me, behind me. Like, that's
absolutely
just smart.
Yeah.
But if you're finding yourself in that more intense category, then maybe it's time to start using some tools.
I'm wondering, too, if there's, like, because to me, like, I can feel a biological difference between being vigilant and hypervigilant. Like, it is like...
Oh.
Yeah. And this is why I'm so worried about it leading to an anxiety.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Do you know when, like, and maybe this isn't... I've never talked or even thought about this body reaction, but talking about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this totally makes sense, right? When I travel alone, I'm very vigilant. I do always know who's behind me. Like,
yeah.
Even with my headphones on, like, I'm aware of who's where, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't wear my headphones at night, you know, like, when
yes.
I'm walking alone. Things
right.
like that. Just
right.
Just situational awareness is what my uncle would describe it
yes,
as.
Yes, I love that.
But when I am hypervigilant and something like, I describe it a little bit as tunnel vision, and anything outside of that tunnel vision kind of gives you a mini wave of anxiety, like a real fright. Like,
yeah.
You know, you jump scare someone, that feeling that kind of washes over your body.
Yeah.
It's like having that all the time. That's how I describe hypervigilance. But I can only focus on one pinpoint.
Yes.
And so anything is like jump scares me that's coming from anywhere but that little pinpoint.
Cause, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
yeah.
I think that's totally true.
Okay.
I think that's a great point. And same, like when I was heading here this morning, I was waiting at the MAX station at 3 a.m.
Oh,
it's
God.
Not a great time.
Not the best.
To be standing in downtown Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would call vigilant, and it didn't feel inappropriate.
No, that's very appropriate.
Was I on guard? Was I not super happy about the situation? Yeah. But it felt appropriate and normal, and like this is when I need to be this way.
Yeah.
It's when I'm walking from the parking garage to work in the middle of the day and feeling that exact same way that it's like, maybe this isn't so great, right? That's when I switch into that kind of hypervigilance.
You know what I'm kind of interested by too, in like understanding like how your brain processes it.
Yeah.
When you were describing the elevator experience, do you not first, like, assess the person? It's just their sheer presence in the elevator that puts you into hypervigilance?
Yes.
That's intense. That would be really hard. That's a lot of stress.
The door opens if there's anyone on the other side. It's
okay.
Like, boop.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not great.
No, it's hard on your body. I mean, you're right. It is. And you will, like, I think you've made a really appropriate assessment. It's like, you know, there will be things like... First of all, no one should ever talk to you in an elevator. And if they are talking to you in an elevator, they boo. You know what I mean?
Keep it to yourself.
Keep
in the
it
elevator,
to yourself.
Okay?
Because it is a stressful situation. It's a tiny box. So that I understand. But I also could see, like, you know, your walk during the daytime that you were describing is like, you will. You'll miss, like, really cool things if you're always thinking, like, I have to survive this.
Yes.
You know, like, and maybe that's kind of the pinpoint for me. Once I'm hypervigilant, I'm like, I need to survive this one thing. Cause I think I can get so stressed out too about like one, like if I've got a very big presentation,
yes,
that I'll become hypervigilant because I'm so pinpoint focused.
Yeah.
And then like the jump scares and all the waves of anxiety. But.
And I think it's important to know hypervigilance isn't always about, I mean, on some level, it's about safety, but not always about physical safety.
Okay.
I think we can become hypervigilant about keeping our job, pleasing our bosses. I think you can become hypervigilant truly about anything.
Oh, you know what? I bet you can about keeping a partner, too.
Yeah.
I have definitely seen people do that. And it comes out in really odd ways. Like, yeah, I could see that.
And I think, and we talked about this way early on, years ago, we both kind of had that, everyone's going to die all the time, right? That anxiety piece, right?
For sure.
So I think for me personally, there was a hypervigilance piece to that. Like, I have to, not only is everyone going to die all the time and that's going to suck, I have to be ready for it.
Oh.
I have to be ready and prepared emotionally, legally, financially. Like, I've got to be prepared for this. I think that's that hypervigilance piece that came in on top of the anxiety around those thoughts.
Yeah.
So I think if you're more chronic in your hypervigilance like me, I don't think that in the moment things work as well because I'm in a constant state of it. It's not like a pedicure is going to help.
Oh, interesting.
Because
got
I'm
it.
In such a constant state of it. For me, it was you got to get back into therapy, right?
Yeah.
You got to get back into therapy. I did start taking some meds at that time, and that sort of helped. So depending on which lane, if you're in either of our lanes around hypervigilance, I think addressing it is going to look very different depending on if it's situational or if it's like this kind of constant ongoing.
Yeah.
And it's going to ebb and flow both ways, right? And there's going to be times where I'm much better at my hypervigilance right now, unfortunately. It is strong.
No.
The hypervigilance force is with me right now.
I love the way you said that so much. Oh my god.
So, like, I don't know, it's making me feel better somehow that, like, that force is with me. I don't know, not really. But it ebbs and flows. And that, and I think recently has just kind of taught me that, like, I'm just now starting to think again, like, this is not going away as quickly as I would like it to.
Yeah.
So maybe it is time to, maybe I need to call that therapist
good
back
for you.
Up, right?
Yep.
Maybe I need to start looking at, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going through the process right now. But just know whichever route that is for you, there are tools. They're going to look very different and be very different, but there are tools to help with that hypervigilance if it's not suiting you anymore. If you are truly in a survival state and there's stuff going on, keep your hypervigilance. You probably need it.
Yeah.
It's for those that are out of those situations
and
want to start making some changes.
What I really love about this is, like, I think we're getting a really good example of how important, like, a therapeutic intervention is, because I think if you may not have even any idea that there are body and personality types that will have just series of hypervigilance and then none.
Yeah.
And then people that exist just with it, and how different the prescriptions are, because I could see with, like, if you're living, like, if you are more in a constant low level state of hypervigilance, it would really be applying a model of least harm, right? Like, how do we just reduce this, right?
Yes.
And, like, and keep it as, like, a primary mental health measure, right? Like, so how do we, and, like, for me, it's like, oh no, I know that the real problem here is my anxiety. I know it is. Like, there's no, and I do not want to. And so it's, like, so interesting to see how, one, a therapeutic intervention is so important because you will make a plan with your therapist tailored to you.
Exactly.
And you can start discovering and paying attention to, and, you know, we're never taught, well, that's not true. There are some good curriculums coming up, but as a child, we're not really taught to pay attention to how our body feels.
No.
Which is so cool. My little nephews are, like,
supposed to
this.
Suck it up.
Buttercup, right? Yeah.
Supposed to suck it up, Buttercup.
And it's just, and so as an adult now, again, it's not your fault you didn't get that information, but it is your responsibility to, like, know your body and know what you need. And so it's just really, I am really enjoying this conversation.
I stinking love this that your nephews are starting.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think back to when we were kids.
Yeah.
And did we all have a stomachache and not want to go to school sometimes?
Yeah. Yes.
But I think for a poor little anxious baby like me, I think we truly did not feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
And did not want to go to school for good reason.
Yeah.
And if we had known, if we and our parents had known better to listen to our bodies and be like, this is not a fake, don't feel good, they have a test. Something is off with them.
Yeah.
No, they don't have a fever. No, they're not actually puking. Whatever it is, right? They're not truly sick. But recognizing our own bodies as well as our children's, the people we're taking care of, wow, what a difference that would have made. Because it could be something as simple as a conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
And then off to school you go, because we've addressed that need.
Or like, yeah, because I think you're right. We still want the kids to go to school, but I think the key is having those, okay, what is the word I'm thinking of?
Conversations?
No. It's like an opportunity to use your coping skills.
Oh.
So, like, when, you know, like, if you're nervous as a kid and you have a stomach ache and, you know, you as an adult in the, you know, you get to just, like, engage in the conversation. You're feeling it out. And then you get this opportunity to be like, okay, like, you know, tomorrow when you go to school, if you are feeling anxious, you have a tummy ache.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Practice, you know, like, so
to practice those skills, to get your little tool out of your little baby bandolier, mental health bandolier. Can you see it?
It's only the cutest thing. I kind of
just
now see like
toddler bandolier,
like a baby Bjorn, like a baby's wearing their own baby Bjorn.
Wearing a baby Bjorn with their own mental health tools in it.
Yeah, I'll have
I love it. But yes, using those coping skills to address hypervigilance. I think it's a great... Well, and hopefully that means you don't get to as intense of hypervigilance, right? Because we're addressing that emotional and mental need in the moment, so you're not getting traumatized by pushing through it or being put in that situation that doesn't feel safe or comfortable at the time. So that,
And I loved this idea that you were saying, like, we don't push through it, but you can get through it, but you don't push through it. Because, like, you get through it by using tools and feeling that level of internal accomplishment and now having a tool to survive in the future. But just...
Not by running head on into the wall.
No, nobody wins in that situation.
No.
Oh, gosh. And that's really, I think...
Even if you break through that wall, no one wins. The wall is now broken, and so are you.
Yeah, your head probably hurts. So.
No.
Oh.
That's... Don't suck it up, Buttercup.
Don't do it. You will get through it.
Yeah.
And you're going to get through
it. Of course.
But you're going to do it using tools in a smart way.
Yes.
That will also lead the way for other people to follow you. Like, so that's, I love that because I think that in an old school thinking, there's just two options. You either don't get through it or you just push through it.
100.
And those.
Right. You are weak and crumble.
Yep.
Or you just do it. Yes.
And I promise you, there's delightful middle ground
there
in that.
There is. There is.
And it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. And I think this has been a really fun episode. We've talked about what hypervigilance is, right?
Because if you had not heard the term before, maybe this is helping you recognize, that feeling is vigilance. Now, is it hyper or is it for a good reason in that particular situation?
Well said.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about how you can use tools to kind of prescribe to it and the importance of making that plan tailored to you.
To you.
Because
everyone's hypervigilance is going to look and feel and be different, and you're going to need a different set of tools to get through that, right? To work through those.
Yeah.
Whether it's situational and in the moment and I need to do a bunch of things to get centered again now.
Yeah.
Or if it's more of a long-term plan.
Yeah.
Of things that I need to do to get back to my baseline around hypervigilance, which in a perfect world for me would just go back to vigilance in appropriate situations.
I love that. That'd
be my goal.
Yeah.
We're never going to get rid of it totally.
Yeah. No,
and we should not.
Yeah.
We need it
to
survive in situations. So
yeah.
If you're experiencing hypervigilance, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes.
I wish you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to honor why you are.
Yeah.
There are probably some things that have happened to you or experiences or situations you've been through. So I want to honor if you're in hypervigilance.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever tell someone they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just
for
if
sure.
This isn't working for you anymore.
Yes. Good call.
If you want to change, let's look at some tools. Go back to our other episodes.
Yeah.
Talk to your friends, counselors, trusted loved ones. What are some things, some tools to try to help get that down a little bit for you.
I love that.
Because it's going to be better mentally for you, right?
Yes.
And I truly, truly believe, and I'm personally digging more and more into this, I think physically for your body,
yeah,
living at these levels of stress are not...
Agreed.
Not yeah. good.
Not
long term.
Yep. Yep.
So if you're a long-termer like me, figuring that out sooner, like I wish... I think I've probably been hypervigilant since I was like 12. I really do.
Wow.
I think I've always been on. And
yeah.
And I think all of that is physically catching up to me.
Wow.
Here in the last year or so.
Yeah.
So if you can figure this out sooner...
Oh, that's awesome.
And
yeah.
get some tools to kind of get this a little more under control. I would hope there's not this physical kind of lasting effect for people.
Yeah.
And I'm dealing with it, and I'm going to get through it, and I'm going to
yes,
find the
are.
Right doctors
yes.
and the right people, and we're going to figure shit out. But that would be my hope for someone maybe
yes.
a little younger going through this. Don't push it off.
Yeah.
If it's not working for you.
Yeah.
Let's do the work. Get the tools. Do the work. Get yourself back to baseline.
Oh, man. I love that. I love that. And I think, you know, a lot of times, because we're two, like, sex-assigned at birth females,
yeah.
right? A lot of, like, is the female perspective. I think this episode really applies to the male population, too, because I don't think males are taught what hypervigilance
no.
is. And so you may be experiencing that.
Yeah.
And think that this is your normal. And it's not, and it is,
yes.
it's hard on your body.
Yes.
So do talk to someone, start investigating.
That is so true. Cause they may, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really think
oh,
that's true. Especially
I hadn't thought about that because I'm not male.
Yeah.
So I hadn't thought about, but you're right. They may very well be, or feel like they have to be in this state
all the time,
constantly as well.
Yep.
For a whole different set of reasons.
Okay. Specifically for males. And or females, but like first responders.
Yes.
Police officers, military service, living in hypervigilance does not need to be your normal.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are ways and tools to find out kind of how you experience it, like me, where it's situational, you, it's like this baseline.
Yeah.
And either apply a less harm model, a very situational model, but
yes.
look at aiding it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please. Please, please, please. Oh, you're right. So many of these people might not even know.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. Like,
might not even know.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have. If I didn't go into the field that
yeah.
we're in,
yeah.
I would have no idea that
same.
What I'm experiencing is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Please look into that. Check yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Figure out if, you know, are you on all the time? Are you
oh,
looking
yeah.
for danger all the time? Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop all the time?
Yeah.
If you are doing that, you might be experiencing hypervigilance. So
yeah.
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. And
yeah.
let's make a plan.
This
was
a
great episode. Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Don't suck it up. Talk about it
yeah.
and make a plan.
Yeah. I love that.
Let's
yeah.
do this.
Let's do this and you're totally effing worth it.
May the force be with you. Just the
not the
hypervigilance force. To write the other force.
That's perfect.
Okay.
And look, this is great.
Oh, good.
Well, this was a very fun episode, and I learned a lot.
Oh, good. Me
yeah.
too.
Oh, my gosh.
Me too. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful you joined us. We have the, like, some updates. The website has now kind of a chalkboard feature, so you can
yes!
email in and get your thoughts posted to share.
I love that.
I also am very excited about it. We have our store up and coming soon, so you'll be able to buy some stickers and support the cause. And
lucky you.
We are on the cusps of launching our Patreon as
get
well.
Get ready.
It's going to, I'm super excited. You're going
so
to
close.
Experience some amazing bonus content of, you know, we always talk about mental health measures
yes.
here,
yeah.
or excuse me, like just mental health in general. And we get to be a little more the two friends side of our bonus content.
The bonus content's gonna be lot less mental health. lot less, well, it's always a chat, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're just gonna get more like Susan anytime
mm-hmm.
outside
mm-hmm.
of our roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, get ready. Ooh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
It's gonna be an absolute delight. We're frankly
just
excited
you're
to do
welcome
it.
Already.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
No, I didn't worry about it. Yeah. But yeah, look for those things, and we're so grateful you joined us, and let us know if you need anything.
Yeah. We love ya.
Oh, so much.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Bye.